what I'd like to try and do is begin with one of the genres of academic discourse on Dante, which is the lectura Dantis. This will be my own version of it, but a common type of lecture, and the custom really began in America, but it's been continued in England over the past, now, almost two generations, is to work through a canto. And I'm going to actually look through two, and I'm not going to go over every line, and it itself is a kind of commentary, and mine won't be exactly a commentary, but it will be a reading. It'll be legitimate, and it's part of the traditions, and I hope it's a good way to get us off reading Dante. Also, parts of my other talks will be similarly reading sort of quasi-in-depth parts of cantos to see what's in. Because in one sense, there's the larger structures, the larger vision, the larger worldview, but all of that is exemplified in individual passages. And this is a way to get into that. What I'm going to talk about are the sections involving the people who are in hell for evil counsel. In Inferno Canto 26, Dante and Virgil arrive at the 8th Bolgia, ditch, of Malabolge, lower hell, where Consilio Fraudolente is punished, fraudulent counsel, or counsel of fraud. For Dante and the Aristotelian tradition, intellect is the distinctive trait of human beings. In the first canto of Paradiso, line 121, he calls human beings creature cano intelletto e amore, creatures that have intellect and love. Evil counsel is one of the clearest examples of misuse of the intellect, the conscious perversion of what is the path to a just social life and the beatific vision, the vision of God, which is il bene dell'intelletto, the good the intellect aims at. Dante stops his often fast-paced journey to devote two cantos to two figures, one from classical antiquity, second from contemporary Italy. The first interviewed by Virgil, the second by Dante. Judith Davies writes, quotes, "The two worlds Dante has used in the comedy stand side by side. While for the first and last time in hell, two major figures punished for the same crime are presented in parallel," end quotes. These two cantos also change the mood of the journey. Before confronting Ulysses, Dante has been subjected to terror and exhaustion of mind and body. Pack of quarrelsome, vengeful devils chase Dante and Virgil to escape by the skin of their teeth. He's looked down upon condemned sinners boiled in pitch, crucified, trampled on, weighed down with heavy capes, twisted and transformed into monstrous shapes. After he departs from this Bolgia, he will again witness terrible physical deformity, bodies torn asunder or rotting or crusted with scabs. Although those damned to this level of hell suffer the pain of burning in a flame that conceals their form and distorts their ability to speak, for two cantos, Virgil and Dante listen to two eloquent men tell their stories in words and with content that are moving and will echo elsewhere in the comedy. Canto 26 begins with the two travelers leaving the 7th Bolgia of Thieves, where Dante has talked to five fellow Florentines. He pauses at the beginning of the canto to address his hometown in highfalutin language for four tercets of ironic praise. The whole work is done in sets of three lines. For four tercets of ironic praise for the Thebes Florence has contributed to hell. The dignified quality of the language, which is ironic and satirical here, continues to the end of the canto, where it ceases to be used ironically. Virgil and Dante scramble up the rocky side of the Bolgia. Quotes, "And following our lonely way among the splinters and the crags of the ridge, the foot could not go forward without the hand." Vigorous picture of climbing up the side of a ditch. Dante is approaching a serious, indeed a tragic, episode, and he stops to explain how difficult it is to proceed. Quotes, Then I sorrowed, and now I am sorry again. When I direct my mind to what I saw, and I rein in my genius, my ingenio.